I'll start. Okay, we'll begin with what's the mindset when cleaning for Pesach. So the goal of preparing for Pesach is to be able to come into Pesach feeling happy and excited that the amazing Yantav of Pesach is here. Obviously, this can be hard and stressful, but with a little planning, we could turn it into a smooth experience. Shem Shem Pinkus, that's all used to say, why is the Seder the first night of Yantav? It should rather be in the morning, or after a good night's sleep, or the second night. So he explains, or Shamshin explains, that what better feeling could there be than coming to Yantav feeling like, wow, I'm worn out. I did so much for the sake of Hashem. I did so much preparing for this Yantav, which was all for Hashem, to please Hashem. I was doing this to please Hashem, and look how much I put into it. So that feeling of just like collapsing, the night of Pesach is just a thought that we need to keep in our minds. So this is something we need to keep in our minds throughout the preparations, that we're doing this to please Hashem. But there's nothing wrong with coming to Pesach excited and feeling rested and ready to go into the Leil HaSeder. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind is that when people used to live in one-room apartments, it was feasible to scrub the walls in order to remove every speck of chametz, and so that there shouldn't be even a mashu left of chametz. However, nowadays we have larger apartments, or even houses, and many appliances, so to start scrubbing everything down is just going to tire ourselves out, causing us not to enjoy the Seder, and ultimately will impact our entire Pesach. Now, so what is our focus in cleaning? What is the focus? So we need to know that besides the prohibition of eating or benefiting from chametz on Pesach, it's also asur to own chametz. Now, this issur of owning chametz applies to pieces of chametz which are the size of a kezayis, which is, if you take a small matchbox, that size. That's what we're talking about. The issur of owning chametz is the size of a kezayis. And this must be destroyed or getting rid of, or at least put away and sold to a guy. Now, although chametz smaller than a kezayis is not included in the issur of owning chametz on Pesach, but there's a chashash that we're worried that perhaps one will come to eat chametz by mistake on Pesach, where the issur of eating chametz includes even less than a kezayis, even a small amount, mashu. So now when we're going in, we're cleaning, right? For example, if one would take a Cheerio, which is a very small amount, it's not a kezayis, a Cheerio, and they would eat that on Pesach, or a piece of a cookie, or a piece of a pretzel, that would be the issur of eating chametz on Pesach. So when we're cleaning, we're looking for two things. We're either looking for a piece of chametz the size of a kezayis, which usually there isn't that lying around, or a smaller piece than a kezayis, but a sizable piece that one would by mistake eat without realizing. Out of habit, they would take it and eat it. Therefore, if the chametz is dirty, or it's even somewhat slightly dirty, or if the chametz is slightly dirty, we're not worried that one will come to eat it. So that also we're not worried about. So it comes out like this. Crumbs, we're not looking for. Because crumbs, no one's picking up crumbs and eating that by mistake. Chametz is lying around in places where it's dirty, or it's not edible over there. Also, we're not worried about. So what are we looking for? We're looking for either big pieces of chametz, or even not big pieces of chametz, but chametz which is clean, and I would take it by mistake and eat it. That's what we're looking for. Now that's if you're focusing on cleaning for Pesach. Sometimes people decide that now is a good time to do spring cleaning. Just as a suggestion, if you want to get your husband involved in your spring cleaning, then tell him straight out you're doing spring cleaning, not Pesach cleaning, because it's going to frustrate him when he says to you that this is not Pesach cleaning. So if you tell him that spring cleaning, then maybe he'll join you in it. But as Pesach cleaning, that's what we're looking for. So it's really very, very small amounts. Now, as we're cleaning for Pesach, and we're doing a thorough cleaning, and we're emptying shelves, and we're putting things back, and taking things off, emptying cabinets. If as we're going through it, we do check it, we look around, we see there's no chametz over there, before we put things back onto the shelf, then we're already beginning the bedika process. We're beginning that the bedika process, which is done the night before Pesach, by already searching that there shouldn't be any chametz over there, and that makes it easier during the bedika that you don't have to start looking through shelves. Your husband has to walk around. All he has to say is, did we clean this closet? Did we check this cabinet? Do we need to check this cabinet? Is this a place where chametz is brought or not brought? Things like that. So I want to go through different examples around the house of how to clean it and make it things so hopefully simpler. Okay, any place where chametz may be stuck to it, like chairs, tables, or a couch, all you need to do is take a wet cloth with any cleaning agent. Any soap is fine. There's no need for bleach or anything similar to bleach. It's enough soap and wipe them down. All you need to do is wipe them down. You don't need to take them apart. You don't need to take the chair apart or the table apart. It's enough to wipe it down. By doing this, this will make whatever is stuck to them not edible, and then we don't need to worry that someone will come to eat it by mistake because it's not edible anymore. If you have sfarim and books, so no one's eating the crumbs that are left in them, in the books or the sfarim. No one's eating that. However, what one may be worried is that if they're going to be using the book or the sefer in a place where there's food, for example, to use the sefer or the book on the dining room table on Pesach, perhaps there is a crumb here that will end up in my food. So therefore, it's suggested that those books which may have a crumb or something like that to either not bring it to the table that you're eating at, or when you're using it at the table, place something on the table to put the book on, and then you'll remove that cover and you won't have to worry about anything getting into your food. So again, books and svarim, there's no need to check them. You don't need to clean them. You can leave them and then use them carefully on Yontif. Benches or zmiris, which we know have chametz stuck to them or stuck in them, of course, that we should put away for Pesach and get new ones for Pesach. Clothing. As long as the clothing was washed with detergent or dry cleaned, no checking of the clothing is required. A coat pocket or children's coat that has not been washed, assuming that one would put chametz into their coat, so then that should be checked for chametz before Pesach. But like I said, most clothing is being washed somewhere along the way, and either you check the pockets before you washed it or through the washing process, whatever was left there, if something was left there, it's not edible anymore. No one's eating what was left in the packet from the detergent or whatever it may be, and therefore one doesn't have to check that. Now, the kitchen and the dining room table, we said it's enough to just wash it well with soap, but still it might be suggested to cover them with any type of cover, even a plastic tablecloth, or put the tablecloth on top of another cover, another tablecloth, just because in case there is a speck of chametz that was left there after my cleaning and might get into my food. It's like this, I know it's covered with a plastic, and on top of that, I have my tablecloth. But there's no need to kasher tables. That's clear. No need to kasher tables. Now, where I need to check or where I need to clean, again, is only places where chametz is brought there, or we could assume chametz was brought there. So you're talking about shelves in a closet, in a clothing closet. So if it's lower shelves that can be reached by children holding food, So that should be emptied and washed down once, only once. You don't have to wash it three times, and that would be enough. The higher shelves do not need cleaning at all. That's going around in the, that's in general in the house. In the kitchen itself, so obviously in the kitchen we're going to be extra concerned that there should not be any chametz, because we're going to be cooking and preparing Pesach food over there in the kitchen, and we don't want any chametz to end up in our Pesach food. So therefore, in the kitchen, we're going to be a little more careful in washing things down and making sure that it's clean before we use it for Pesach items. Now, when it comes to towels or oven mitts, tablecloths that we use with chametz, if one washes it with detergent, they may be used for Pesach. It's enough. Put them in the wash machine, give it a wash, and that'll be enough to clean them out, and they could be reused for, they could be used for Pesach. When it comes to the pantry shelves, like we mentioned, just empty the pantry shelves, clean them well. There's no need to cover the shelves unless you're still worried that maybe you didn't clean it well. But if you cleaned it well, then you don't need to really cover it. Countertops, so that should be kashed by cleaning them well, and when dry, pouring boiling water on it, which could be either you boil up water in a pot, or you take your kumkum and you boil it in the kumkum, and when it's boiling, bring it directly from where it's being boiled to the counter and pouring on the counter. Sometimes you may have to do two or three pourings. You may not be able to cash it all at one time, so what you'll have to do is pour it on one section of the counter, dry it, and then you do the next section, dry it, and then you do the next section, so that the cold water that's left there doesn't roll over to where you're going to be pouring the hot water afterwards. But in a case where one would rather cover the counter instead of kashering it, then there's no need to kasher. There's no need to do both. You don't need to kasher and also cover it. Either one. Either clean it well and kasher it, or cover it. The backsplash, also just clean it well. If someone knows that their backsplash has the condensation drips down from it, or maybe it wasn't cleaned well, so then again, it will be suggested to cover it. But if there's no issue of food or condensation dripping from it, and you cleaned it the best you could, then you could just leave it that way. The refrigerator and freezer. Now, again, since food is... Yeah, I'm sorry.
So what's with, like, sinks?
We're going to get to that. I will go through the kitchen step by step. Okay. The refrigerator and the freezer, which, again, the fridge and freezer, which you store food in there all year round, and it's likely that sometimes things spill, crumbs are left in the fridge or the freezer, so one should clean it very well, especially if it's shelves that are glass. You could just take the glass shelves, bring them to the bathtub, wash them well. And again, if you wash them well, it's not necessary to cover them, unless it was hard to clean well, so then you'll want to cover it just to be safe, that in case there is any specks of chametz there, won't get into your food. A sink. Yeah. What? I can't hear. Okay. If you do cover your shelves in the fridge, so then you should make holes in them so that the cold air could circulate properly, and you won't ruin your refrigerator. All right, but let's say you have glass shelves. What do you do?
The freezer also, you cover it, because I clean my freezer, like a second freezer, and all the shelves have the metal.
Last night I tried cleaning and I can't get all the chametz out of it, and I see like crumbs, but I'm like trying and I couldn't get it, and I call my mother and I was like, okay, I'm gonna cover it with something, and she's like, no, if you cover it completely, right, it's gonna also, you're gonna kill it.
But
it
also
you
screen
it.
Okay,
so
I'll
you
it.
Buy screen.
Yeah,
screen
by on a roll.
Like
that, like a screen for
the
outside.
Okay, good point. Okay, when it comes to a sink, so this, there are different sinks made from different material. If it's porcelain or enamel, like the older sinks here, so then you need to buy an insert and use a sink insert for the sink. But if it's stainless steel, so then it may be kashered. The way to kasher a sink is the similar to what we mentioned before, that the best thing is not to use the sink with hot water and hot food for 24 hours. And as the sink should be, when I say food, I mean chametz stick of food. Should not be used for hot chametz for 24 hours, like straining your macaroni or any other pasta. And after the 24-hour period, boil water, and while it's bubbling, take it and pour it onto the sink. Most likely, it will take 2 or 3 times to get all parts of the sink. Make sure to dry it in between each time that you pour the boiling water. That's the sink. The faucet, there's no need to cover the faucet. Just pour hot water on it. Some feel that it's also that you should turn on the hot water, and when the hot water is running, then pour the hot water over it. The filter piece that's on the sink over there. If you could try to pour hot water over it, when you have something with hot water, just stick it into it. But it's not, it won't, if you don't do it, it's not going to be a problem. So again, for a faucet, it's enough to just turn on the hot water, pour hot water over it, and that's enough. Now, when it comes to the stovetop. So the stovetop is really divided into 3 parts. You have the floor of the stovetop, and then you have the burners where the fire is, and then you have the grates on the stovetop. Now, the floor of the stovetop should be covered with thick aluminum foil, unless it's stainless steel, because then if it's stainless steel, then it could be kashered in the way we're going to explain soon. The burners and the grates may be kashered. One way of kashering the burners and the grates is that if one has a self-clean oven, they'll put it into the self-clean oven, and when they're kashering their oven through a cycle of self-clean, will also kasher the racks in the oven and will kasher the grates and the burners. But if one does not have a self-clean oven, so a way to kasher the stove top would be clean them slightly. You don't have to work hard on it. Clean them slightly. Then turn on 3 flames and cover with the blech and leave it on for 10-15 minutes until it gets very hot. Now you have to keep in mind that the blech will probably get black and become very hot, so you have to be careful with turning off the fire. It's going to be difficult to get to the knobs to turn off because it's going to be very hot. So what one would do is there's the switch for the main switch for the gas. Sometimes it's underneath, sometimes it's on the side. Flip the gas switch down, so that will stop the gas from coming to the fire. The fire will go out soon after. Let it cool off, and then you'll be able to go to the knobs. But that will be a simple way of kashering it. Many people buy new grates for Pesach, but if you kasher it with this way, it should not be a problem. Do we still have a blech to lend out? So if anyone needs a blech, we have one that is already black.
So you can borrow it. Chametz or Pesach?
You can use a chametz blech. Right. Okay, now...
So after you do this with the stovetop and you've kashered your... plates and the grates.
Right. Now
the
floor. So if the floor is stainless steel, then it will kasher the floor also. But if
I don't know if it's stainless steel or not.
You probably could tell.
It's silver. It's
not painted. Does anyone have a glass stovetop here? No. Okay. No, if there's a glass stovetop also, then there's an issue in kashering the glass, and then you have to either buy these metal discs to put the pots on, or people put like quarters to raise the pot up that doesn't sit on the glass. Okay, but it's not in the game right now. Now the oven itself, as we mentioned, if the oven itself has, if it has self-clean, so then you use the self-clean mode to kasha the oven. And like I said before, you could put into it the grates and the burners and everything that's in there. But if there is no self-clean, so then there's a discussion among the Paiskim if such a oven could be kashered for Pesach or not. Now, many Paiskim suggest that one buy a convection oven or the like, or a toast oven, instead of kashering the regular oven. That's what some held. However, some Paiskim hold, and one could rely on these Paiskim, that there's a way to kasher this type of oven by clean the oven well. What's burnt, now when we talk about cleaning the oven, what's burnt is burnt. You don't have to get off what's burnt. What's black or brown already, that don't worry about it. But if there's any types of food that's spilled over, that's stuck to it, that you should remove. Then turn the oven on to the highest temperature for a half an hour. And that will kasher out the oven itself. The racks that are in the oven, that must be kashered by Liban with a torch or by new ones. Now, there will be stands all over in every corner closer to Pesach where people will be doing kashering. So you can bring the racks to over there and they'll do Liban to the racks. Bidyevit, if someone cannot kasher their racks with Liban, then they can rely on this also for the racks. Now, hot plates, one could just clean the hot plate well and then cover it with a thick foil, and that's enough. Microwaves, we do not kasher microwaves. That's the meaning, is not to kasher microwaves. And I think so that's around the kitchen. Now, just in general, other things which will... just other things that there may be, like rings. So really, there's no need to kasher rings. However, if it's possible not to wear them a day before Pesach, or at least to avoid contact with hot chametz, that would be better. Sometimes you have computers that you eat while you're working on the computer, so you have to clean it well using a spray. That should be enough. Toys. So being that the children put toys in their mouth, so you don't want them to even eat a piece of chametz, which in general, I mean, when we're talking about before cleaning parts of the house where chametz gets to it, so obviously children get to all different areas that you never imagined that they would get to. So what you're responsible for is those areas where it's easy for the child to get to, that's where you want to clean, that he shouldn't come to it. So when it comes to toys, naturally children put toys in their mouth. So those toys that you're going to leave out for Pesach should be washed and cleaned, or buy new ones for Pesach, whichever one's easier to do. But that's toys. A high chair tray should be washed well, making sure to clean every spot. To cover the high chair tray, I think the child's just gonna manage to destroy it, and you'll be busy the whole Pesach recovering it. So therefore, the best thing is just to clean it as best as possible, and that'll be fine. If it's possible to get new bottles and a sippy cup, since again, these are things that go into the baby's mouth, so then, yeah. However, as long as they were used with cold liquids, it's only then you really could continue to use them as long as they're cleaned well. Especially if you finally found the pacifier that works with this baby, then just clean it well, and then you could continue using it. Or some people do kashering to it; they'll boil up water and just drop it into a pot of water, and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, during the year, it's not so common to kasher utensils. However, it's more common for Pesach. Especially here in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see it more. You'll see like I said, all over stands of places where they have these kashering stands with hagolas kelim, big barrels of hot water boiling, and next to it also a torch to do liban. Now, of course, it's better to buy new utensils for Pesach, but each person has to make their own cheshbon what they can afford. If they can't afford to buy new, so then they could kasher. They could kasher their utensils for Pesach. So some utensils you could do hagala to hagala is the process of putting it into boiling hot water. Now, before you do hagala, one has to clean the utensil well, that there should be no dirt left on it. If there's a rust stain, but there's no rust there, it just looks like a rust stain, that's not a problem. Then to fill a pot of water, it could be it's better to use a chametz pot to fill a pot of water and to place it on the fire. Then when the water gets to boiling, it starts to boiling, then you put the utensil into the water. The minig is to rinse it off afterwards with cold water if you can. Now, if you're using this pot of water to kasher a few kelim, so you should try to put them in one after another, and make sure that the water is still boiling when you put in the second one or the third one. Because what happens sometimes is that when you put in one or two, it cools it off and stops boiling. So you have to wait until it boils again to put in the next one. If it's difficult to do hagala on the full kli, the full utensil at once, you could do half at a time. You could do first half and then you'll flip it over and do the other half. As opposed to tzvilas kelim, when we tevel kelim in the mikveh, then we have to do it all at once. The entire kli has to be submerged at once. Over here, it could be done half-half. Sometimes it's just simpler to bring it to one of these places, making sure that they're doing it properly, and they'll do it for you. Now, hagolas kelim is a way to kasher metal utensils, but kelim that are made from glass or plastic, we do not kasher for Pesach. Neither can china dishes be kashered. When I say glass, I mean for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim generally will not kasher glass for Pesach. If there's a specific situation, one can ask a shiloh. Now,
Sfarim could kasher glass?
Kasher glass, they don't have to kasher. Sfarim hold, there's no bleeds in glass. Most Sfarim hold. Now we have certain things that go on the table when we're eating, things that they're used on the Shabbos table. Let's say, like a silver kiddush cup or a wine decanter made of metal. So even though it's only used with cold things, and therefore should be enough to just wash it off. However, the meaning is to kasher it through hagolas kelim. And this is very simple. You take the becher, you take the kiddush kais, and just drop it into a pot of boiling water, and that would be enough. Things which are on the table throughout the year, on the Shabbos table, but you don't eat from them, like let's say you have the candlestick tray or vases, even though it's on the table when you're eating, that you don't need to kasher. It just to be cleaned. However, you should clean it well before using it on Pesach, on the Pesach table. Now, there are some utensils which require more than just hagolas kelim, more than putting it into a pot of boiling hot water. They require what's called liban. Liban is with fire, kashering with an actual fire. Now, the general rule is that utensils that we use with fire must be kashered with a fire, like a grill, a frying pan that's used with fire and no liquid. I mean, what I mean to say is that it's used with fire without liquid. A utensil that's used with liquid, that you can do hagolas kelim, so you can do with boiling hot water. But like a grill or a certain frying pans. Now, frying pans could get complicated because if it's made with Teflon, it's a plastic coating, so Liban will not work for that. Hagala would work for it in the case of Hagala, but Liban, we don't do to plastic like I mentioned before, and therefore a pan like that would not be, we would not kasha for Pesach. So these are the different things around the house of cleaning and making it kasha for Pesach. Now, when it comes to medicines and cosmetics, so medicines in the form of pills and capsules do not present any issue of chametz on Pesach, even though there are many lists around. But in my opinion, there's no problem of you don't have to get rid of them. You can hold on to them. Syrups, especially children's, for the medicine they have for children with a sweet taste, that should have a hechsher for Pesach. Sometimes it's just an issue of kidneys, and one would be able to be lenient in such a case. So a Rav should be consulted or speak to the pharmacy to find out if this medicine, which doesn't have hechsher for Pesach, is it a kidney shaila or it's a chametz shaila? And if it's a kidney shaila, does the Rav feel that it's permitted in this situation for them to use it on Pesach? Ointments and creams, if you ever tasted it, they're bitter tasting, therefore it's not an issue. Body soaps and shampoos do not require a special hechsher for Pesach. Those things that go in the mouth, like toothpaste, mouthwash, and other items that go into the mouth, it's better that they should have a hechsher for Pesach. There's no need for makeup or perfume to have a hechsher for Pesach. Lipstick, since it goes in the mouth, either a new lipstick should be used for Pesach, or, and if possible, a lipstick that does have hechsher for Pesach, but at least a new lipstick, or if you have an old one, to rub off the edge of it so that in case there is anything that got onto it, won't go into your mouth for Pesach. Again, everything has to be cleaned one time. You don't need to redo it a few times. Sometimes it tends to be somewhat of a tircha or come out to be sort of a bother, but we have to keep in mind this is what we're doing to prepare for Pesach, to prepare for like Rav Shamshon Pinkus said, that it's to please Hashem, and this is our way of doing it. Now, I just want to say another few points. The cleaning for Pesach should be finished before Bedikas Chametz. Not that while we're doing Bedikas Chametz, we're still finishing cleaning. After Bedikas Chametz, everyone should say the Bittul, Kol Chamira, with understanding what the words mean. So if you understand it better in English, you should say it in English. And everyone should say it, which we say once after Bedikas Chametz. And then we say it a second time after Sreifas Chametz in the morning before the end of the Zman. At night we speak about the Chametz that we did not see and we did not find. In the morning we say even the Chametz that we did find, if it didn't get destroyed, it should be bottled, it should be as if it's dirt. I don't, and the machsh of it, it means nothing to me. Just a few points about the Lel HaSeder. Abdullah said also everything should be prepared as much as possible before the night, or at least before the men come home, so that as soon as the men come home from shul, we're ready to start the Seder. This includes the seating arrangements and the table being set and whatever else has to be prepared. Women are chayv in all the mitzvahs of the night, which includes Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is understanding the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, He made us His nation, and the great and wonderful Nisan that He has done for us. Therefore, it's important for everyone to say Reb Gamliel, towards the end of Haggadah, Rav Gamliel, Pesach, Matzah, Mara, which is the explanation for these three mitzvahs, and it's not just to say it, but to understand it. So again, if someone understands it better in English, they should say it in English. Maybe someone at the table should read it in English so that everyone will understand it. A lady who's busy with taking care of the children or busy with whatever other things there is to be busy with should say, at least she has to hear Kiddush, and she should at least say Rav Gamliel, from Rav Gamliel until after this drinking the second kais. And the minig is also that she should say the esemakos. But again, if she could join for whatever other parts of Haggadah, is definitely great. That's the mitzvah of Sibayat Yisrael. We have the mitzvah of Dalek Kaisais. A lady lechatchila could be yaitza with grape juice. She does not need to drink wine. Find the grape juice that you like best, and that's what you should use. You don't need to drink any big shiurim. It's enough. 3.2 ounces or even 2.9 ounces is enough to drink. And if that's difficult, we could go down lower also to drink even less than that. There's the mitzvah of achilas matzah, which again, also men have the habit of coming and eating these big shiurim. You don't need to have any big shiurim. You can ask your husband for the small share. That's enough. But we have the mitzvah of achilas matzah. There's a mitzvah of reading halal, which is also part of the women, to read halal. And we say it with a bracha, except Sfaradim, I think, also say it, the women say it with a bracha, right? I'm not sure. Check that out. But definitely Ashkenazim, the women say it with a bracha. That's the mitzvah of halal. Kitniyos is a minig of the Ashkenazim, not to eat kitniyos on Pesach. There are different minhagim of what's included in kitniyos. The question that comes up many times is either for children, the children, their formula, or they only eat rice or whatever, different foods which are kidneyous. So many times will be makel for the children, just especially if it's a question of formula, because usually that's all they're drinking or eating. Just keep it separate from the food that you're eating so that it doesn't get mixed into your food. So you wash the bottles out at a different sink, not the sink in the kitchen, and you store it somewhere else. There could be also a heter for refuah. Sometimes even older people, they're allergic to many different foods. They can't eat dairy, they can't eat different foods. So sometimes there'll also be a heter to eat kidney ice if that's what they need in order to fill themselves. And a shayla should be asked. And the Rav will decide whether it's appropriate in this case for them to eat kidneys. Okay, I think we covered most of the inyan of the negea. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Which hechsher does the Rav on Pesach?
That's a difficult question. No, I mean, again, it's more or less the same as during the year, except it gets a little tricky as usual, because the Bedatze, the Chredis, and maybe some other Hechsherim, but mainly the Bedatze, the Chredis, are many products. They give a Hechsher throughout the year, but they don't give on Pesach. And therefore it gets complicated, because the question is, why are they not giving on Pesach? Is it because their minig is not to eat it, or it's because they hold there's a kidneys problem, or there's a real problem? So in general, again, the regular Hechsherim that you eat all year round, and when it's a product that has bedatz all year, and now it's switched to Chukasam Sefer Bnei Brak, a lot of times that'll be fine. I answered it very vaguely.
So, can I ask a specific question? Is, okay, you go to the shops. I remember I've asked from previous years, I just forget every year.
Yeah.
At certain brands that you say, okay, like, what's the Pesach ones, or the American brands?
Oh.
Glicks or Geffen?
Yeah. Those are fine. Those are fine.
The brands, Glicks, Geffen,
yeah.
And then which Chasam Sofer do you let?
Bnei Brak.
Which one's the Bnei Brak?
The circle one.
The circle one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tylenol for kids. Or Ekamol, or
so again, it's
just wait till there's an issue, and like on Pesach.
No. Hopefully you don't need to use it, but you don't have to wait until the issue. But a lot of times there are lists. You see, a lot of those have a sweet taste.
Right.
So either we check it up on the list beforehand, Or what we do is, a lot of times we if it's not on the list, we sell it to the guy. But when we do the mechir with the guy, we speak out with the guy that if on Pesach a child will need to take this medicine, so then he's agreeing that the child could use the guy's medicine. So that's what we do. So you don't have to get rid of it, but just if it's not on the list, put it in the cabinet. And if we need it, if the child will need it, then we'll allow him to use it. Yeah.
Stronger.
Again, that's a similar idea. You don't have to cover it, but you have to clean it as well as possible. That again, what we worry about? We worry that with, you know, theoretically, just to go over it with a wet cloth with soap should be enough. But we worry maybe the baby will lick it or take something in, right? So that those parts that the baby comes in contact with clean better. Otherwise, you don't have to worry about it. Okay.
And now the question, so everything the Rav said now, halachically we can do and are safe, not that we're trying to be more lenient.
I'm not being lenient at all.
I'm
making a lechatchila dicka Jews.
So I'm saying, why is Pesach such a crazy thing by everyone? Because we have to cover everything. I'm saying, if we do this, we can be like, ah, we're Pesach dick, anyone.
Right.
You would eat in our house.
So when are you going to do your spring cleaning? Yeah.
So I don't do spring cleaning.
Okay, so that's the answer. Other people do.
Is you would eat in our house.
100%. This is what I tell my wife to do. Yeah, 100%. 100%, 100%, 100%. I'm only lechatchila. Yeah.
It's yeah. Wow, that everyone else makes it such a stress.
So what do we do with these halakas as opposed to crazy fanny minhagim?
Like what?
That's not my minhagim, so I don't understand.
Like what? Like what? Like which minhagim?
I don't know, I'm sure Yochanan's asked you this question, like, I'll keep the freezer, he'll come with the toothbrush. I'm like, what are you doing? It's clean.
Okay, so I'll tell you like this. It used to be when they lived in very small houses. Okay, very good question, very good question. I'll be honest with you. There is a Yerushalmi that says that they used to scrub the walls, right? They used to scrub the walls. The Mishmur is bothered. Why are they scrubbing the walls? There's no chametz on the walls. So it says, Mini Yisrael Kedeshimi. That's what he says. It's a Mini Yisrael. And Klai Yisrael have certain minhagim, which you may not understand, which we keep. But what's clear is that was when they lived in these one-room apartments, or maybe a two-room apartment. And they were able to do it and come to Pesach happy and excited. Now that we have bigger, we have apartments, we have houses, the fact that you're going to come to Pesach worn out or with a bad taste is the biggest proof that that's not what Hashem wants of you. Okay? So if your husband's willing to do that extra work, great. As long as he's happy, then fine. But you have to be happy also. Okay? Yeah?
Like if I clean, say, dining room chairs with, say, go like between the holes with like a vacuum cleaner, and do I have to cover it with like a cloth?
No, nothing.
Yeah, you just have to
wipe it. You just have to wipe it down with a wet shmata. That's it. No one's peeling off any crumbs from it. No one wants
there
to.
There could be crumbs around Pesach? Like in between the chairs. It's always like that.
But no one's going to eat that. Crumbs are not, you're not looking for crumbs. My only problem with crumbs is that it might get into my food. But it's not, gravity pulls things there. It doesn't go up. Yeah.
Is it better to buy a new toaster or to do this to like kasha the oven? Like my oven doesn't have self cleaning.
Right. Look. So if someone could afford to buy a toast oven or something like that, it's probably better. Definitely better. But, and I'm sorry, our gemach fell apart during our travels. We don't know where things went to. But we used to have three toast ovens. The Chanan doesn't know where they are. So, of course it's better.
Better.
Of course it's better. If not, then you definitely could be Sarah Chametz, okay?
I have a toaster oven, like a big toaster oven that I used probably three times. Very
for chametz?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to kasha a toast oven because it doesn't get hot enough. An oven will get hot enough that you have what to rely on, but a toast oven not.
Like also glasses that you use for candlesticks, clean
them by no ones? No, you don't eat from them, just clean them well.
For what? What do you say?
Okay. Fine. Everyone should have a wonderful and happy Chag HaShavuot.